All right, brethren, Psalm 119. This is the second Hebrew letter in the alphabet, Bet. And it begins here in verse 9. It says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word." God's word is addressed to every kind of sinner, whether young or old or in between, whether male or female, rich or poor, believer, unbeliever, learned, unlearned. There's something in God's word that addresses us wherever we are, whatever state we're in. There's a word for us in the scripture. Now, this is asked the question about young men, and that's a blessing. You young people, this word is to you. This word's to you just like it is to these older ones here. It's to you. And it's to anybody here. This word is profitable to cleanse young or old. It's profitable. We're only cleansed and we only have our way cleansed by taking heed to God's word. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, "From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." This is the word of God. He said, "Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that is, truly furnished unto all good works. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. Now, first of all, if we're going to have our way cleansed, we need to know we're unclean. If we're going to have our way cleansed, we're going to have to know we're unclean. How will a sinner know that? By taking heed according to the word. By God making us take heed according to the word. For those that God's first calling, when he first begins to work in a sinner, it's his word that he blesses. It's the word. It's the word of the scripture that he will bless to make us know that we are defiled, that we need to be cleansed. God's holy. He's holy. We can't really enter into the fullness of that, but he's holy. For us to look at God would be like us trying to stare right head on into the sun. He's holy, he's pure, a light that no man can approach unto. But God's word declares that every person is conceived in sin in our mother's womb. We didn't do it. It was from Adam's corrupt seed. We were conceived in our mother's womb as sinners. We were shapen in iniquity. We were transgressors from the womb. And we come forth, and our heart and our ways and our actions are evil from our youth. We hate God from our youth. Isaiah 64:6, he said, "We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." For the believer who has been cleansed and a new heart given, this work is done by God's word making us behold. Our Lord Jesus Christ laying down his life in a room instead of his people, making us see him all over again, making us know we need to be cleansed. Now, when we read Psalm 119 as a believer, We have a old sin nature that still has pride in it. And when we read a psalm like Psalm 119, we're prone to flatter ourselves, especially if we're in a time of peace and we're not being afflicted and others are. But it'll help us to understand this psalm if we know the end from the beginning. If we know David's state by which God brought him to write this, it'll help us. We find it in the last verse of this psalm. The very last verse of this psalm, verse 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. I want to show you a few verses here to show you the state where he was. Verse 25, he said, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Verse 28, he said, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Verse 39, he says, turn away my reproach which I fear, for thy judgments are good. He said in verse 41, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. He said in verse 42, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Verse 71, it's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Verse 83, I'm become like a bottle in the smoke, yet I do not forget thy statutes. He said, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. David was a believer. He had been cleansed inwardly, but he had strayed. But the Lord sanctified this affliction to his inward man. Spurgeon wrote this on it. He said he confessed his helplessness. He was not like a dog that somehow or other can find its way back, but he was like a lost sheep, which goes further and further away from home. Yet still he was a sheep, and the Lord's sheep, his property, and precious in his sight. Therefore, he asked the Lord to seek and restore him. Boyce said this, he had not become self-righteous by his devotions, despite his reiterated claims to have obeyed the Bible's teaching. The Lord made him not take the stance with the boasting Pharisee, but with the publican who stood afar off, crying for mercy, and went home justified. See, by the blessing of God's word to his inward man, God made him know his need. God convicted him. He's the sinner. He's the sinner. He'd gone astray. David was in the fire we just read about. He's being saved by fire. God chose his people in the furnace of affliction. He's going to save his people, bringing us through the fire. And David had been in that fire, and he was convicted of the sufficiency of God's grace to keep him. And he knew he needed God to save. He needed Christ to rescue him. That's how the Lord blesses his word to every regenerated heart. He makes us see our own selves as the lost sheep, as the straying sheep. We can't be saved if we're not lost. And that's so when a believer who is saved can't be saved until he's lost. He can't be cleansed till he sees he's defiled. When Christ's sheep wander, the Spirit of God is going to keep us conscious that our salvation is only Christ. His word tries us and rebukes us, but it encourages us and it strengthens us. God is teaching us and protecting us. That's what he's doing. He's saving us. He's saving us. Have you ever been where David was and be able to say, I believe your word, Lord. I've kept your statute. You've commanded me to believe on the Lord Jesus for all my salvation. I believe you, Lord. Save me. Save me. He didn't make him less God's child. He was suffering this because he was. Now, secondly, to be cleansed. So first we have to know we're defiled. We have to know we need cleansing. And God has to show us that. He's the Word, the incarnate Word, our Lord Jesus, who shows us in his Word and by his Word, blessing it to our inward man, that we need him to save us, that we've strayed, or that we're totally lost. Then secondly, to be cleansed, we need to know there is but one who is clean. There's only one who's the Holy One. We need to know him, and we need to know to come to him. How are we going to know that? By the Lord making us take heed unto his word. That's how. By the Lord making us take heed to his word. The deceiving, sinful heart, this old man of sin that's even yet with believers, makes sinners read these words like law and commandment and statutes and precepts and imagine that they have life by keeping the commandments or by keeping the new covenant precepts. It makes us boast that we have sometime. Christ said, search the scriptures, search the law and the commandments and the precepts and the statutes. For in them you think you have life, eternal life. They are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. We never stop coming to him. That's what every word in this book has to do with. Every commandment, every statute, every judgment is to show us we're the sinner and we need Christ, who alone is our cleansing. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Are we going to go to ourselves to bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? Not one can do it. That's what Job 14:4 says. The word of the Lord declares that Christ Jesus is the fountain open for sin and uncleanness. Christ is the perfect servant of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, by his obedience, made his people righteous, and it's by Christ being formed in us that he makes us holy. In that day, the Lord said, speaking of Christ's day, speaking of this day, the day the Lord's made, this gospel age that he's brought in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin, for justification from our sin, and for uncleanness, for sanctification, for purification, to be cleansed. Now in the beginning, the great shepherd of the sheep sends his gospel to his lost sheep. See, he always does the finding. You know, he tells us to seek him, but he has to find us to make us seek him. And he finds his sheep. He goes seeking his sheep, who came to seek and to save that which is lost. And he finds his sheep. He sends the gospel to us. And he sends forth the Holy Spirit. And he makes us to be washed inwardly. He makes a new man in you. And for the believer, he keeps washing that new man and renewing us when we've strayed. And he does it by this same gospel. Titus 3:5 says, it's not by works of righteousness we've done. It's not in the beginning that way, and it's not ongoing that way. Not by works of righteousness we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being or having been justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life by being born again, by being continually renewed, by being sanctified inwardly. He washes us by the water of the Word. By the water of the Word, the preaching of the person and finished works of Christ. Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it that he might sanctify it, that he might cleanse it. He's going to get the glory. With the washing of water by the Word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, Christ himself is the prophet, priest, and king of his people. And when he had come and spoken his word and blessed his word to the heart of his apostles and created them, washed them inwardly and renewed them inwardly and made them clean inwardly, he spoke to them and he said, "Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken to you." Purification of the heart is through faith. It's through beholding the Lord Jesus Christ. He sends his gospel to open our eyes, to turn us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that we might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Christ is the brightness of his Father's glory, the express image of his person. Right now, we can't see him fully. We see through a glass darkly. But when he gives you faith to behold him, that's where you're purified. That's how you're purified. You can't look upon him without seeing yourself as unworthy and defiled and sinful. Because he's holy and he's pure and he's perfect. And when the Holy Spirit makes a sinful man behold Christ, it's through faith that our inward man is purged, cleansed by the essential word, by the written word, by the Spirit of God. He cleanses us inwardly. Peter said of the Gentiles to whom he was sent with the gospel, "God, which knoweth the hearts," he put no difference between those Gentiles and us Jews, Peter said, "purifying their hearts by faith." By faith. Sinner, have you plunged into this fountain? Have you forsaken any hope in you, been cleansed of any hope in yourself and in your works and in anything you've ever done, and made to forsake your own self as well as all your sinful works and all your sinful self-righteousness? The Pharisees confessed their sin and they forsook some outward works, but they thought their forsaking was their righteousness. That's not your righteousness. That's not. We have to be made to forsake our own selves. Anything about us. When you read John, 1 John 1, he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. That's what we are. If we say we have not sinned, that's what we do. Everything about us we have to forsake. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what our Lord does, and he keeps doing it. He keeps doing it. He's going to keep doing this to the day we're with him. Now, thirdly, once we're cleansed, once he's cleansed his child, first he makes you know you need cleansing. And the word tells you that. He makes you hear it in his word. And then secondly, he makes you know there's only one holy one who can cleanse you. He's the fountain open for sin and uncleanness. He's our justifier and our sanctifier. And then thirdly, once cleansed, we need to know the only way to continue to be cleansed is to come to Christ. How are we made to know that? By Christ making us take heed according to his word. By him making us take heed according to his word. After he declared to his apostles that they were clean because he had spoken a word to them, he said this to them, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more nor can you except you abide in me." David had obviously strayed, but he hadn't ceased being the child of God when he strayed. God our Father receives us in Christ our righteousness, and who is our sanctification, without change. Without change. And God looks on the heart that he's made whole, where Christ abides. Now, the Lord will withdraw from us just a little bit, just enough to show us what we are, the believer. He'll draw away just enough to show you what you are. That's why David cried there in at the end of verse 8, and he said, "Oh, forsake me not utterly." He won't forsake you utterly, child of God, because Christ Jesus was forsaken of God in our room instead. But he will withdraw enough to let you remind you and show you what you are. And he will come to you in power, making you see the defilement of whatever it is we're doing, whatever it is we're saying, whatever it is we're trusting in. But he knows the desire of the new heart that he's made in you that desires to honor him and desires to worship him. And he said, where there's a willing mind, it's accepted according to what a man hath, not according to what he hath not. He's not looking on your heart to see perfect faith. He's not even looking on your heart and saving you because of your faith. He's giving you faith to see your salvation's Christ. And because when Peter didn't believe the Lord, when he denied him, Peter wasn't being saved by his faith. It was by Christ's faithfulness to him. If we don't believe, he abides faithful. He's not going to deny himself. He's going to keep you looking to him. But he'll let you fall into your unbelief enough to show you you're not being saved because of you. He tells us to hold on to him, but it's him holding on to you. He tells us to seek him, but it's him making you seek him. But he doesn't. You don't stop being God's child when you've fallen. That's why David is saying here, Lord, I believe you. I trust you. I keep your statutes. I'm walking after you. God had made David righteous in Christ. He'd made him clean by Christ abiding in him. And God said to Peter, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. What God's cleansed, don't call common. That's not our business. But what did the Lord do? He found David, and he cleansed him from his defilement, and he made him take heed to the Lord's word. He didn't make him take heed to the words of men. He made him take heed to the Lord's word. Faith is exclusively personal between God and his child. And he's working in measure in his children. That means he hadn't given every one of us the full measure. But you got the measure he's given you. And he's growing you. Just like you have different stages of children. He's growing us. And he knows what each of his children need. And the Lord, when he comes, he makes you turn and seek him. This is what David said. He said in verse 10, with my whole heart I have sought thee. Lord's created a whole heart in you. That whole heart's whole. And it's with that whole heart that you're going to seek the Lord. It's that new man created of God. And that's where you're going to seek him. And here's the thing. You always have that old man, but God's going to keep you seeking him with the whole heart. That holy heart, that new spirit he's put in you, that's the only way you worship God. And he's going to keep his child doing that. He's going to keep you doing it. But he's going to keep you seeking him personally, Christ himself. That's who he's going to have you to seek. I hear some things said and preached that sounds like men are just wanting to obey God's commandments for the sake of obeying his commandments. That ain't obeying his commandments. The Pharisees did that. They weren't his. Obeying his commandments, you may not obey his commandments perfectly, and you don't. But obeying his commandments, doing it when you've been made to fall in love with Christ, and you're wanting to serve Christ and worship Christ. And nobody else can determine that but you and God. And God knows it if he's worked it in you. With the whole heart I've sought thee. By renewing him, David desired to have his whole mind directed to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be kept in the statutes which proclaim that salvation is wholly in and by Christ. With my whole heart I've sought thee. And when the Lord makes you know this, when he has truly made you seek Christ and know that you are complete in him and that his grace doesn't change, his love doesn't change, we do not want to sin. And to the ability that our God gives us, we walk after his commandments and we keep his statutes. Just because he's put a want to in you. He put a willingness in you. You want to. But when we do sin, because of that same grace, when he's come to you, you might despair a little at first. But when he's come to you and shows you and chastens you and rebukes you and corrects you, we don't fall into despair and bondage. But when that Spirit of God bears witness in your heart, you're a child of God, what you do is you agree with God's law against yourself. You agree with God's law, you have sinned. You say it of yourself, I've sinned. Lord, against you have I sinned. I've sinned against you, Lord. That's what he makes you know. He makes you know that. He makes you know that. And we don't, the same as we don't fall into bondage and fear, the Spirit keeps us agreeing with the God's law. The Spirit keeps us running to Christ who made satisfaction on our behalf. And we rest in Christ's obedience, seeking grace from Christ to walk as he enables us to walk after him. This is what he's doing in his children. So David confessed he was yet a sinner and he needed Christ to keep him. Where do we see that? Look at the next phrase in verse 10. He said, "Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." See, he's writing this after the fact. And he's writing all the things he was suffering while he was in this affliction, going through this chastening that the Lord was doing because he had strayed. And he says here, "Lord, because you've worked this in me." This is what made him cry out up in verse 4. "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then I'll not be ashamed." Sin makes us ashamed. Transgression makes you ashamed. "When I have respect unto all thy commandments, I'll praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments." What's God doing with us in this world? And, you know, the sin we see, you constantly have this old man warring against you. What's the Lord teaching? He's teaching us his judgments. He's teaching us his statutes. He's teaching us how we need Christ. He's teaching us how to walk. That's what he's doing. Teaching us how to talk. Teaching us. He's making us grow up into our Lord Jesus Christ every day. Every day. And so David confesses here, "I'm a sinner. I need Christ to keep me. Let me not wander from thy commandments." The Lord made him know that he had an old man of sin warring against his new man. He knew that. He knew that. The Lord had given him just enough room to show him that without Christ, he could do nothing. If we can just stop a sin, if there's just some sin you have that you can just stop it, you wasn't under the power of it because you can't. If you could, you'd have believed without the grace of God. You couldn't do that. It's God that makes you repent. It's God that cleanses you. And that makes you meek. That makes you stop boasting and looking down your nose at others. That makes you stop trying to spear them. You confess we're the sinner. Confess yourself to be the sinner. You look to Christ. You want to see one who's without sin? This is where we're going to see our defilement. Look to Christ. When he walked this earth, Christ's nature was holy. He's perfect. Every thought, every deed was righteous. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he's despised and rejected, you ever hit your hand with a hammer? That make you think real good, righteous thoughts when you do that? You ever reckon you sin any when you do that? They nailed nails in his hands and his feet in anger and enmity against him. He didn't have one unrighteous thought toward him. Not one impure thought had he toward him. He prayed for him. When I see him crucified, I see him in his perfection. I see him in his righteousness. And I see him doing that for me. That breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart that it don't break my heart more. That's when we stop pleading our own righteousness. That's when we start asking God to have mercy. Believer, do you ever go astray? In the new man, in the whole heart that he's made, no believer wants to go astray. That's what Paul meant when he said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But that's the only thing our sinful flesh wants to do, is go astray. Constantly, 24 hours a day, even when you're sleeping. Where do you think nightmares and bad dreams come from? But our good shepherd is our good shepherd. He's our faithful shepherd. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He'll come and find his lost sheep and he'll put us on his shoulder. He'll bring us back to the fold. He'll bring us back to him. He don't stop doing this. David experienced this that he might be more dependent upon our great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what the Lord said would happen. In Isaiah 45:24, he said, surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. In the Lord. Is all your righteousness the Lord? What about all your strength? Is all your strength the Lord too? Even to him shall men come. We're like these sheep. We're like a sheep. We'll stray. One step at a time. We'll stray. So next thing you know, we look around and we're in darkness. I lost a dog one time 10 miles from my house across a creek over in another creek bottom. And one day he looked up and that dog showed up and jumped up in the back of my dad's truck. How he got there, I have no idea, but he found his way home. A sheep won't do that. Brother Adam was talking about this, was it Thursday night? There's a video, I'd seen it too, where the sheep's in this crevice. Y'all seen that? They pulled a sheep out of that crevice. And I mean, the second they got him out of that crevice, he took off running and jumped right back in it. But he comes and he finds his sheep and he makes us come to him. And all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In 1758, there was a hymn writer. David's writing this psalm for us and this song in Psalm 119. And in 1758, another hymn writer wrote this, and he was a young man of 22 years old. And he wrote, come thou fount of every blessing. He's the fountain open for cleansing, for sin and uncleanness. But he's the fount that has to come to us to cleanse us. Come thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise. Jesus sought me when a stranger. Wandering. David said, oh Lord, don't let me wander from your commandments. He sought me when I was a stranger, wandering from the face of God. He, to save my soul from danger, interposed his precious blood. And because this man had been cleansed by Christ and saw his old sin nature, he wrote another verse. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, oh, take and seal it with thy spirit from above. That's his word. It's changed up in our book, but that's his word. Let me tell you, give you something Spurgeon said on this. He said, watch, pray, resolve, but still come back to this. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Lord, keep me. The old plowman, whom I sometimes used to talk with before he went to heaven, said to me, this is what his old farmer friend said to him, depend upon it, if you and I get 1 inch above the ground, we shall be that inch too high. He said, there's much truth in his plain remark. If we get any high notions of what we are, we shall soon sink below what we should be. Lie low, aspire high, be nothing, take Christ to be your all in all. That's my gospel. That's my hope. Now lastly, what's the effect when the Spirit turns us to Christ and cleanses us? What's the effect? It's a peace in our conscience, for one, that passes all understanding. Peace in our conscience. God makes us more diligent to heed His word because we do not want to sin against Him who's been so merciful to us. I was just talking to, I won't say who, but I was talking to somebody just last night who said to me, they said, you know, we've been wondering, maybe we wasn't saved till now. And they was telling me why. And I said, I've experienced that many times. You know, I've tried to liken it to this before. It's like you come in here and you hear the gospel and you leave out renewed and you're strong. And it doesn't take long. And this is just a small example. But in a little while, your mind's back on your work. You're on the whatever it is. And you get weaker and weaker and weaker. And when you're renewed, you're strong again. Well, when He works this cleansing work, you come out of that wanting to serve Him more and be more faithful to Him because you see now very clearly your sins against Him. Your sins against Him. That's what David said. Thy word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee, Lord. And it grows a little dimmer, and it grows a little dimmer, and our flesh grows a little stronger. That's why the Lord puts us in the fire again. That's why He cleanses us again, to keep us growing a little more. Sometimes He grows you a little faster at times because He puts you through a harder trial. And He makes you, oh, Lord, I don't want to sin against You. I'll take heed to Your word. I've hid it in my heart. I don't want to sin against You. That's one thing He does through this. And then His word makes us more dependent upon the Lord to teach us. He said in verse 12, blessed art Thou, O Lord, teach me Thy statutes. Lord, teach me. That's where He brings you. He makes you be like Mary. Just sit down at His feet and say, Lord, teach me. Teach me. Because you see now, you didn't know as much as you thought you did. He's listening to fellas that was turning you from Him to you, and He turns you back to Him and makes you say, Lord, teach me. Teach me. His gospel makes us declare the good news to others. Verse 13, with my lips I've declared all the judgments of Thy mouth. He makes you want to tell others what He's done for you. That's why He's doing it for you. So you go tell them what great things the Lord's done for you. And His gospel makes you rejoice. When He does this, He makes you rejoice. Look at verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies as much as in all riches. You know, riches do rejoice you. If you're poor and you all of a sudden get a big chunk of money, it makes you feel pretty good. Not as good as this does. He makes us more hungry for Christ and His righteousness than earthly bread and fame and riches. The spiritually hungry are begging God for the heavenly manna. The spiritually poor are begging for the true riches. We're begging, create within me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. I've esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. That's what His people, poor in spirit, are crying for. And He creates a more earnest resolve in our new man. a more earnest resolve. Look here in verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. He had sought. He had hidden the word in his heart. He had declared the word. He rejoiced in the word. Now he said, in the future, I'll meditate on your word. Be always in this book. Be in this book all the time, studying the word of the Lord. Every problem you have, every question you have, every need you have, the answer is in the word of the Lord. I'll meditate. I'll have respect to God's ways. I will delight myself in God's statutes, and I'll remember. This is growth in grace. That's by God. It's through the Lord's chastening affliction produces conviction of personal unworthiness in us. And it produces conviction that Christ is our only righteousness and our only sanctification, who is keeping us in his holiness. I get sick of men bragging about their holiness. Christ sets our affection on him. See, the paradox of the mystery of godliness is that the way to purity and peace of conscience is through the consciousness of our corruption and that our righteousness and holiness is Christ. That's so. It's a paradox to a natural man, paradox to a religious man. But to God's child, this is how he reveals the mystery of godliness. He makes you know your own corruption. He makes you know Christ is y'all. That's how he keeps you walking after him. Cleansed. Cleansing makes you, gives, that's how you have the strength to cleanse yourself of your sin and go after him. The only way. And it never ceases this side of heaven. Ever. Never. I pray God bless that to you. Amen.